This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
That's right, Hard Drive DL time. Thanks for checking us out. My name is Paulie Walnuts. Delighted to have you with us this week as we take you once again backstage to Rock on the Range out in Columbus, Ohio, where we got to hang out with all the great bands all weekend. Anywho, let's kick it off this time. Lou Brutus got to sit down and talk with Thrice, and man, this was a good conversation. Check it out.
Backstage, Rock on the Range 2017. I'm Lou Brutus. Tepe and Dustin from Thrice are my guests. Nice to see you again. Tepe, you first, your first Rock on the Range. You've done a ton of festivals before, but this one, I think this one's maybe a little bit more special than others.
We were just talking about it, and I'm sure it's on everybody's mind, but we were really looking forward to seeing Soundgarden tonight, and everything that's been going on, it's really unfortunate. It's pretty heavy. So that definitely sticks out in our mind tonight.
Dustin, if you would, how did you get the news about Chris Cornell, and what was your initial reaction?
We were up really early to catch a plane yesterday, and so just saw a text from Riley. We were kind of texting when we were going to meet at the airport, but he was just like, dude, what's going on? Rest in peace, Chris Cornell. It's horrible. It's really sad. I was just reading a response from his wife, and it sounds like some kind of mishap with his medication possibly was influencing it, and just everything seemed like it was going well. So it seems even more tragic in light of that. But
I know how seriously you guys take any live gig that you do, large or small. Certainly Rock on the Range, on the face of it, would be an extra big gig. But under circumstances like this, I don't want to use the word pressure, but do you feel a desire to maybe deliver a little bit more than you usually would?
I think for us, we kind of what you're saying first, we really just approach, every gig on its own and give it everything we have. You don't know what to expect in a festival setting. It's always different, whether it's, what stage you're on or the environment. And you just got to go out there and just go for it. We just played one last week, and it seemed like no one was going to be in the amphitheater, but they were all just over watching the other stage. And once we started, it filled out. And Tepe didn't realize it till the end of the set. But, we were playing to thousands of people, and it was a great vibe. You never know. You got to play it for the whoever is there, and I don't know. It's a privilege to get to do it at all. So we don't take it lightly.
Tepe, have you ever had any bands in particular, or maybe specific songs that, when things have been difficult in your life, they may have been go-to songs for a bit of inspiration?
That's a good question. I can't think of anything particularly offhand. Miles Davis's Kind of Blue is kind of like my go-to album if I need to chill out. If I ever feel like kind of high-strung or whatever, that record is always calming to me. There's another record called Laughingstock by a band called Talk Talk, which they were known, I think, in the 80s for kind of more synth pop kind of stuff like that. Yeah, but they kind of took a crazy left turn at some point and started making these really kind of ambient, almost jazzy records, and that record is amazing. So,
Dustin, same question for you. Anything that is a good go-to for you when times are maybe a little sketchy?
I don't know if I have something that I go to in that specific sense, but I am kind of always listening to The National. It's just kind of, I can't get enough of listening to them. Their tickets just went on sale today for Hollywood Bowl, so I'm trying to snag some right now.
Have you ever seen a gig there?
I have seen a gig there. I saw Radiohead there, which was fantastic. I feel like I saw something else there, but maybe not. I can't remember now. I get confused with the Greek and Hollywood Bowl sometimes in my head, but I think I like the Bowl better. I feel like it feels smaller.
I've seen you guys on a lot of different festivals, a lot of different bills, but I would have to think that the lineup that you guys are a part of this summer is Probably one that you're feeling pretty good about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, big fans of both those bands, Rise Against and Deftones, and we've known them for quite a few years, each of them. So, yeah, we're really stoked. It should be a really fun tour. Yeah, it should be good vibes.
I think it's a good bill in terms of good variety in vibes, but it's, you know, it's a kind of a heavy rock guitar kind of show, and I don't know, that it's cool. It's cool in that sense, but I think people are going to enjoy coming out, see a big rock show, but not have it all kind of sound the same. So,
I mean, how tough is that to pull off sometimes? Certainly there's a long history in rock. If you look at some of the bills that Bill Graham used to put on at the Fillmore West, or some of the outdoor shows that he used to do, where you'd get the Woody Herman Big Band from the 1940s opening up for The Who. And it tended to work really well. Have you ever been part of any bills that were like super diverse, maybe some big festivals that you thought, oh, this might be weird, but it turned out to be very good?
I mean, I feel like every festival we do is pretty diverse for the most part, unless you're doing something like Surf and Skate or whatever, you know. Is that called Surf and Skate anymore?
There's still some diversity there. I mean, we did Coachella, and that was, I mean, it's always a super diverse bill. I don't know. I mean, every, like, especially the stuff over in London, Reading, Leeds, or not London, England, Reading, Leeds are always, you know, crazy all over the place, and it seems to work well, especially in a festival setting. I mean, you're not going in some sense like I'm going to this band's show. You're going to see a bunch of music, and it I don't know. I like the variety. I like not seeing the same band over and over.
Let us talk about Hurricane. What kind of insight can you give us into the tune?
The tune, it's one of my favorite songs on the record. It seems like probably the fan favorite as well. We've been opening all of our sets with it since the first show after we made the record, really. And I feel like, I don't know if it's people just connecting the music or the kind of the words, but it's dealing with, I was just talking about this earlier, but I mean, it feels like kind of what is happening with the Cornell thing, where it seems like everything is fine and then everything is totally falling apart. And, that seems to be just kind of the way that life is. So the song's kind of grappling with that, and how do you deal with that? How do you appreciate the moments when it's not, you know, because I feel like it's easy to get jaded about, yeah, everything's fine right now. Like, no, that's a gift. That's something special, and it doesn't stay like that. So, yeah.
You guys had done a cover of Helter Skelter, and I'm curious how you came to do that song, which is certainly, and this is saying something, one of the better songs by the Beatles, and they're a band that wrote a few pretty decent songs. Tep?
Just a few, yeah. I mean, I think, especially between Dustin and I, Beatles are hands down one of our favorite bands ever. And so we've always been huge fans. And I mean, at least to me, I've always heard that song and heard it as super heavy. You know, obviously it doesn't sound maybe as heavy as it could today because of, you know, tones or the way it's recorded. But I mean, just, yeah, production, but like, just the actual way the song is played and just everything about it's always seemed really heavy to me. And so, yeah, we were talking about it one day and decided to try it. And I don't think we really even changed anything, really. We pretty much played it straight up, you know, as the song was played, but just played it with our tones and whatever. So,
yeah. And I think, it was actually really, like, covering the song changed even how we viewed, well, not even just the song, but changed how we played as a band, I think. It was because it moved in a different way than we were used to playing, and it felt really great. Like, it had a motion to it and a certain bounce or a groove that was different. And it was, we did it before we recorded Beggars, and it really changed. Like, it was like, man, I want to write some stuff that moves more like that. And so it I think it had a profound impact on the way that we wrote Beggars and the way that we have conceived of us making music going forward. So
Have you ever seen McCartney live? And if so, where'd you catch him and what did you think of the set? He's touring this summer again, and I always encourage people to go see. I've seen him dozens of times.
I saw him when I was, I think, in sixth grade. And so that was great. I mean, I grew up listening to just tons and tons of Beatles. So that was awesome. I was in like row like ZZ, like at the top of a stadium. So very, very far away. But it was great. I would love to see him again. I did hear the other day that someone saw him and he totally butchered Blackbird, which was so encouraging to me. I guess he like was butchering the guitar part and had to be like, yep, oh, sorry everyone, like, which was like, man, if he can do that over this time, I feel better about when I screw up. So that was, it was good to hear that he's a human.
No, I've never seen him, unfortunately. I would love to. Yeah,
you have to. Well, listen, always nice to see you guys. I appreciate the time here at Rock and the Range. And I'm a bit jealous of you in the summer you're about to have with Deftones and Rise Again. So have a safe one. Have a great one. And thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.
Backstage, Rock on the Range 2017. I'm Lou Brutus, my brother from another mother. Corey Taylor joins me now. Very nice to see you.
It's good to see you, sir. I missed you.
Tell me about playing the show on the eve of Rock on the Range. It's the first gig for you guys in many years, and Into the Breach you had to go with some heavy news for everybody, and kind of just walk me through your day and then into the gig.
It was, I mean, obviously nobody wants to wake up to that. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, losing Chris Cornell. He wasn't a friend, but he was an acquaintance who I knew, you know. Great dude, one of the nicest dudes I'd ever met, you know. So waking up to that, it sucks, man. You know, he was one of my favorite songwriters of all time, you know. He inspired me in so many different ways. So, you know, knowing that we had to kind of go in to the show with that kind of knowledge. I mean, we just decided that we were just going to do it all positive, all good. We're not going to talk about the bad stuff. We're going to accentuate the good stuff, you know. We played our set. We did Outshined as a tribute to him. And the whole place went, you know, bananas. So I feel like we did respect, and we did exactly what we needed to do, while also kind of charging into that fear of, oh God, we haven't played a show in 4 years, you know. And we did great, man. It was, to me, it was probably one of the best shows we've ever done, and it was a good moment. It was a good moment to have.
You know, the only thing recently I could think to compare it to was also something else you did, and I don't think we've really talked about this on the record yet. The day that Prince passed away, and you're in Minneapolis at his home club, and you go out with Purple Rain. I watched it on Facebook in tears, and the only thing I didn't like about it was that I was not there to see it in person. Tell me about that day. That was one of the best things I think I've ever seen you do.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I mean, it's obviously, it's so heavy and so palpable. Like, you can feel it in the air, you know? And you know how my show starts. It's a totally different thing every time. But I always come out and I always talk, and you get the kind of crowd going. There was no way I was going to do that night, you know? I just walked out, and I just started playing Purple Rain, you know, because I knew that everyone, it was almost like everyone was holding a breath, you know? And as soon as that song started, they could let it out. And it was my responsibility to make sure that they got to say goodbye and got to sing along and got to let all of that tension out. And it was, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that before or since. I'm really proud that it was, that I was in that moment. But for me, it wasn't even about me. It was about Prince, you know. I mean, that just tells you how much he was loved and respected as a musician. And yeah, I mean, I can't even watch the video anymore because it just gives me chills every time and I cry. It's heavy.
Yeah, I'm starting to tear up just listening to you talk about it. what was Minneapolis like that day? Because, again, Minneapolis is just one of the nicest cities in the world. The people are awesome. It's clean. It has great restaurants. The people, again, are fantastic. And he never left, as big as he became. What was the vibe like in that city that day? I can't even imagine it.
There were crowds everywhere, you know? Like, there was a crowd outside of First Avenue. They weren't even trying to get in. It was just, they just wanted to be there, you know? There are crowds outside of Paisley Park just leaving, you know, presents and gifts and pictures and stuff. And it was incredible, man. Like, you could walk down the street and everybody could just tell. I mean, I saw people that would just, like, maybe didn't even know each other, just grabbing each other and hugging and... It was heavy, man. I mean, it was such a loss for that city, you know, and such a loss for that community that I don't even know what I could compare it to, you know. But being in it and seeing it, man, made it even easier for me to go and do what I did, you know, because I knew that it was more about helping them than doing anything else, you know.
What a great answer, and I really meant what I said. That was just that might have been the coolest thing I've ever seen you do in my life, and I only wish I had been there for it in person. Do you think there's a chance that you guys might leave outshined in the set as you begin to tour around? Because, I mean, you guys are pretty liberal with throwing in at least, usually one cover song in. Could you see it sticking around?
Maybe. I mean, I guess it all just kind of depends on the mood, really. You know, I mean, we did it last night, obviously, because it made sense. If the mood takes us, maybe, you know. I mean, the way it is, I mean, our set's pretty stocked as it is. And it's not like we couldn't, you know, kind of work that in with the other covers that we do, you know, every once in a while, just kind of throw it in for the hell of it. So maybe, yeah, I could totally see us doing. I mean, we did a pretty damn good version, so it was pretty cool.
So far, as of this recording, folks have heard a couple of tunes from Hydrograd. What's the buzz you're getting so far from folks?
The reaction has been insane, dude. Like, it has exceeded our expectations beyond anything that we ever could have imagined, man. I mean, and that's coming from people we knew that was good. You know, we knew the album was good. We knew it was going to be big. We didn't realize it was going to be this big, dude. It's insane. It makes me really proud of all the work that we did. It makes me happy that it makes me so grateful that I get to do this still, you know, that after all these years and to be skilled, you know, still putting albums out and still putting out stuff that I really love and to have it embraced that way it's icing on the cake, man. So I just hope that everybody loves the rest of the album as much as I do, as everybody loves the two songs, and I promise you are not going to be disappointed.
How much of the new stuff are you going to be able to work in a set, particularly early on? I mean, as of this time, we're still more than a month out from the release of the record, but how much of the stuff do you think you're going to be able to work in through the course of the summer, let's say maybe beginning with the tour with Korn?
With Korn, I know we're working on, because right now we're only doing the two new songs. But with Korn, I think we're going to try and work in Type A, which is the first real track. So do the intro into Type A, maybe do Knievel. Because those two songs are just begging to be played live, you know. Other than that, I mean, you just slowly but surely kind of working them in. And maybe not until we get to the headline run where we start doing a little more, like adding Rose Red. Maybe we've been threatening to do a little acoustic break in the middle of our set, you know, really, really doing something that feels like a headlining run, you know, and doing something really cool and adding St. Marie in there, doing something like that. I think it could be really, really cool. So, yeah, I mean, as time goes on, I think we're definitely going to add a lot of stuff.
Rose Red, I think, is a tune you guys are talking about as a single, right? What kind of insight can you give into the song?
That song, man, everybody who's listening to that song, they say the same thing. It's like, God, that's a journey, you know? Like, and it really is. I mean, it's probably one of the coolest songs I've ever written, and in a really weird way, because lyrically it's talking about getting rid of the dramatic people in your life, the emotional vampires in your life that try to suck everything off of you, you know?
Well, what am I still doing here?
Well, I tell you what, keep talking, bro.
Sorry.
But musically, it is such a callback to all the rock and roll and stuff that we grew up as kids listening to, the punk and stuff. We were able to really take that and turn it into something really cool, you know? And I think that's one of the reasons why people are really gravitating towards that as a single, because it just moves you in such a different way.
Thanks again to the one and only Corey Taylor. They're talking about the new album from Stone Sour, and Lou and Corey are longtime friends, and it's always fantastic to get the two of them together, and I'm glad you enjoyed it, because I know I enjoyed it. You must have enjoyed it, too. And if you like what you hear on the DL, check us out every week. We got a new episode coming at you every week, and you can get it for free on iTunes and Google Play and Blog Talk Radio. And as always, if you want to look us up on the old inner tubes, it's harddriveradio.com and at Hard Drive Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Paulie Walnuts. This was Hard Drive DL.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.